I'm sure many of you who have been watching and following my channel know this very well. I always give my frank, open and honest view on property matters. After all, these are my personal opinions. You absolutely don't have to agree with me. Everyone is entitled to their own perspective. But looking ahead to 2026 and the first half of 2027, I'm not as bullish as what many out there seems to think. Why leh? Very simple. These are my three observations. Here, let's dive in. As a Singaporean, of course, I pray for our country to continue doing well on the world stage. But I also foresee some headwind coming our way, mainly because of competition in the region is heating up. Take Malaysia for example, their economy is moving fast. In quarter 3 2025, Malaysia posts a strong 5.2% GDP growth, putting them on track to reach the higher end of their 2025 forecast of 4% to 4.8%, according to PM Anwar Ibrahim. Compare that to Singapore projected 2.4% GDP growth for 2025. Basically, Malaysia is growing almost twice as fast. And when Malaysia economy does well, what will happen? Well, the ringgit strengthen. More Malaysians will see better opportunity back home. The Malau wouldn't need to squeeze through the causeway jam anymore. This put additional pressure on Singapore SMEs. Got job, but no manpower. Confirm will happen what? And of course, businessmen will ask MOM for more foreign worker quota from non-Malaysian source. Let's not forget, Singapore economy rely heavily on non-Singaporean labor. Just look at the Department of Statistics chart. PRs alone number more than 500,000. And let's assume roughly 400,000 are contributing to the workforce. Add on EP and S-Pass holders, which make up another large chunk. Together, we are easily talking about close to 800,000 positions filled by non-Singaporean. Meanwhile, Singaporeans are shrinking in numbers. We are aging quickly. By 2030, 1 in 4 Singaporeans will be above 65 years old. There are more singles, fewer marriage, and even fewer children. Many feel one kid is enough, if any at all. Xiao liao, our local population will definitely decline. How to have SG100? And what about the younger generation? Many are struggling to find good jobs, until the government also need to step in. MOE should seriously reconsider our education curriculum. If Singaporeans can't even secure strong income growth, then what is the Singapore property dream? How to own property like that? But to be fair to them, Singaporeans are still quite sheltered. HDB give you access to affordable BTO flats. So in reality, there isn't very much to complain about. I've said this many times before, we are already at the peak of the property market. Will prices continue in the near term? Honestly, yes. With high land costs, high construction costs, and still healthy demand, new launch PSF will likely go even higher in 2026 and possible into first half of 2027. That will push up resale prices and keep the property price index, or RPI, climbing higher and higher. But those who are active in the resale market today know the truth. It takes longer to sell. No more COVID-era frenzy. Buyers are really selective. They only want to buy good lobangs. Here, if you have watched my videos on loss-making transactions in both the CCR and outside the CCR, you have noticed the same trend. Quite a number of RCR and OCR resale units are being sold at a loss. Why leh? Very simple. Buyers don't want to pay sky-high prices anymore, especially when BTO flats are coming in at relatively attractive price point. Plus, many resale condos around Singapore are still reasonable price. And some Singaporeans are even considering buying Malaysia property instead. This led us to the next point. I've said this many times, the impact of the Johor Bahru Singapore RTS link is going to be bigger than many expect. By end 2026, it will be operational. I can really imagine what Singaporeans will do. Young couples to families will spend most weekend in JB malls and cafes. It will be their new playground. Double the enjoyment, half the price. Honestly, it's really happening today. That's why Singapore retail and F&B outlets are struggling. Senior, they will go in on weekday with their trolley bags, 8 a.m. go in to buy grocery and 1 p.m. come out. I also do the same sometimes, except I drive in for the last 16 years. On top of that, the electrical train system, or ETS, between JB and KL will begin operation on December 12th. Travel time? About 4.5 hours, much faster than driving. So naturally, Singaporeans will start thinking, Should I buy a property in Malacca or KL instead of Johor? Why buy in Singapore when I can get something much cheaper across the border? I'm buying for retirement, not investment. Don't need to make money, also never mind. Well, these are real sentiments I hear from Singaporeans all the time. In addition, cross-border taxi to be allowed to drop off passengers anywhere in Singapore or Malaysia in the future. This will further impact Singapore's retail market and ultimately filter down the property market. To sum up, these are my top 3 reasons why I foresee headwind in the Singapore property market from 2026 to 2027. Of course, there are many other factors. Global economic uncertainty, the US market, slower rental growth, automation, jobs lost, and so on. However, there will still be good properties to buy, but you must do your homework. Don't over-leverage, always keep a buffer, and seek second or even third opinion. Who knows, sometimes the majority can be wrong. Just look at the recent poll I did. Only 10% got the correct answers.